You're listening to The Jay Barker Show on Tide 100.9 in Tuscaloosa.
Welcome to Big News Sports, featuring Lars Anderson, New York Times best-selling author of 12 books and a 20-year veteran of Sports Illustrated. Matt Coulter, a former Alabama Broadcaster of the Year and longtime media personality. And Christian Miller, a national championship-winning linebacker at Alabama who was drafted by the Carolina Panthers. Here's Lars, Matt, and Christian.
Welcome into Big Noon Sports. You got Matt Coulter, Lars Anderson, Christian Miller on this gorgeous Friday afternoon. However, I hesitate to say, but it is true. This is only going to last a few hours because probably a little bit after Alabama plays San Diego State, we're going to start getting some inclement weather coming in from the west side of the state. So our affiliates will be on the air and covering that as necessary, and we honestly hope it isn't. But we've got a lot of things to talk about on Big Noon Sports today. Lars, first and foremost, just several notes I've made here on last night's first round of Sweet 16. Arkansas just absolutely manhandled by the Huskies. And then UT wins a scrappy game with Florida Atlantic. So first of all, let's just address the fact that Alabama is the lone soldier coming out of the SEC, and they got San Diego State at 5:30 in Louisville.
Yeah, I'd classify it as a disappointing effort by Arkansas. I think it's safe to say that most of the country was against the Razorbacks because of the actions of their head coach and the ridiculousness of taking his shirt off. And really that gained a lot of traction, Matt. And I know you're aware of that. And then Tennessee, they couldn't hit a shot in the second half. And frankly, the way that they played and the cheap shots and the football style of basketball that they were playing, my feeling is good riddance. at least Alabama won't have to deal with them. But hey, the game of the night is Gonzaga UCLA. And
that's better than the K-State. I mean, they were both great games. I'm not butting heads with you, but from every aspect, I would agree with you.
I mean, Drew Timmy of Gonzaga, let's just I say give him the Wooden Award, give him the Naismith Award, give him every single award possible. That guy was incredible last night. 36 points, 13 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 blocks, just hustle play after hustle play after hustle play. And just a fantastic effort by him. And then the late three from about 30 feet on a play that the Gonzaga coach had drawn up during a timeout. Just a fabulous game in back and forth. You know, UCLA had a big lead. Gonzaga comes back, then UCLA comes back, and to me that has been the game of the tournament so far. And it will be interesting to see how much gas Gonzaga has left in the tank when they play tomorrow. But Matt, just your reaction to that game late last night out on the West Coast.
It was fabulous game, and now now Gonzaga's got to deal with UConn, who I would argue right now is playing better than anybody in the tournament. But you know, you can play one day, 2 days later, you play not so much. Ask Arkansas and Tennessee; they're perfect examples here. But Gonzaga and UConn. Tomorrow, I'm marking that down with a big circle because that is going to be one heck of a basketball game. It would not surprise me if these teams got maybe they get into the 100s, but fabulous basketball game. But a K-State Michigan State game was equally as tight
It goes to overtime, and K-State ends up winning it. And our buddy Jordan down at Baumhauer's, let's give him a salute. He had K-State going to the Final Four, and who knows, they may make it. And then I will brag on myself a little bit. I had Florida Atlantic making the Elite Eight. So although my bracket looks like Henry got a hold of it, which is our cat, I can stand proud with the Owls because I had them go into the Elite Eight and eventually losing to Marquette. Marquette's not in it. It'll be K-State. So we'll see how that works out. But let's go full circle here. How's Lars Anderson feel about the 5:30 tip in Louisville on TBS and Alabama and San Diego State?
Well, I think Alabama's about a 7.5-point favorite. And I know that a lot of the early money was coming in on San Diego State to cover when the line was up at about 8, 8.5. So the sharps poured their money in on San Diego State. But I think, you know, Alabama, the only team that can beat Alabama in this tournament, I believe, is Alabama, because if they are playing at their best, they can defeat anyone. Now, I don't think this is the greatest draw in the world for Alabama because, as we've discussed, the Aztecs play really good defense. They defend the three. They're a senior laden team. And they're experienced, got a really good coach, and you know it's the type of team where if they dictate the tempo, which is going to be to try to slow it down and try to make it a half court game, and, you know, Alabama will they'll have to be able to, you know, execute their half court offense, and not in their buckets in transition will be limited. And I know that's what San Diego State is hoping to achieve, but I think Alabama fans should feel pretty good right now heading into this game about the Tide's chances of advancing to the next round. How about you? What are your initial thoughts on the game?
I think we've seen Alabama play kind of mediocre the first two games, and they ended up winning by double digits in both. I think San Diego's perimeter defense is going to give Alabama some trouble. I mean, they guard the three. I think they're top five in the entire nation. They're a very good, solid defensive team. But as we have seen, and even in this tournament, if the gas is not on from Treyland, Alabama can go inside. And, you know, Brandon Miller can drive. And I heard an interview nationally. They were talking about Alabama. And they said, actually, I believe it was Wimp, but he said, Quinterly is unguardable. And so far, when he darts to the basket, he literally is unguardable. His cat-like first step quickness has eluded everybody on the schedule so far this year. And I think tonight, if Alabama's not hitting the trays, then it's going to be on him and Bediako. He'll score the basketball off the dribble in the lane. Bediako, he'll take a dish and dunk. And if Alabama's hitting the three, I think this is all over early. If they struggle, then as I suggested, they'll go inside. I know that's what they'll do. And you know what? The Aztecs know that's what they're going to do. But if Wimp says Quinterly is unguardable, I believe it, and I've witnessed it. So I think Alabama will win. It's only a 7-point line. And I really think that if they're hitting the threes, this will be a double-digit deal in the second half. And I'm not trying to take anything away from San Diego State. I'm saying what Lars is saying. Alabama is that good. And we will see, as I said, in 5 hours. I can't wait. Where are we watching the game, Lars?
Come on over. I'll have my my three little ones here, and they you can help me corral them as we try to keep an eye on the game.
I might scare them.
No, but look, Quinterly is playing the best basketball of his life right now. In the second round win over Maryland, just basically unstoppable. Scored 22, three steals, two rebounds, two assists. He also had 22 points in the SEC tournament final over A&M. He's just he's playing just excellent basketball right now. And you throw in Brandon Miller, Noah Clowney, Mark Sears. I mean, this is a team that has just so much talent, and Betty Ocko, and you know, again, if they are playing their best. And I know this sounds like a really obvious statement, but what I'm trying to get at is, if they're playing their best, they'll beat anyone. They have more potential than anyone in this tournament. And it's my opinion. I mean, that's the reason why they're the number one overall seed. And I have a sneaking suspicion that they at some point will face Houston. I think Alabama and Houston are on a collision course. I had thought it was going to be Alabama was going to have to go through Tennessee. Obviously, that's not the case now. Were you surprised, by the way, that Tennessee just sort of fell flat last night?
Yes. And I was really surprised that Arkansas did. I mean, I don't think Arkansas was the better team, but I certainly didn't see them just getting absolutely canvas slammed, which is what happened. Then Tennessee, a team like that relies so heavily on their defense, if they still got to make a few shots, you know, but they didn't. And I will give Tennessee credit for getting to the Sweet 16, because many didn't have them there. But also, you know, Ziegler's out. Their point guard wrecked his knee. And I think had he been there in that lineup last night, they might be in the Elite Eight. But that didn't happen. And advancing last night, K-State, the Owls of FAU, Gonzaga, and UConn. Coming up on the show today, at bottom of the hour, we'll talk some UAB and some NCAA, NIT, with David Crane, the voice of the Blazers. He's play-by-play announcer, and he's going to join us at 12:30. And then your man is Timmy, not the basketball player. Is the other Timmy going to join us in the second hour, Lars?
That's TBD, but I believe so.
All right. We'll work on that. We'll take our first break of the afternoon and continue on, because there are several other things that we want to talk about, including certainly continuing with the NCAA, but maybe get a time to talk a little bit about Pro Day, which took place yesterday at the football complex at the University of Alabama. I read one report this morning, Lars, that Steve Smith, I guess they're talking about Stephen A. Smith, said Bryce Young should be the first player selected. I have a feeling that's not going to happen. Simply because Stroud looks the part more, and I mean that. That's what it is. Looks more like an NFL quarterback than Bryce does physically, but I don't think in the long run, in 10 years, we'll be talking nearly as much about Stroud as we are Bryce Young. There you have it. You're listening to Big Noon Sports.
The best sports talk in Alabama. This is Big Noon Sports.
Have you?
100.9 Tuscaloosa weather. Partially sunny, warm, and breezy this afternoon. The high today, 82. Windy tonight. Thunderstorms arrive after midnight. Those storms could be severe. And tomorrow, rain ending early in the day. The sky becoming mostly sunny. The high at 83. I'm James Spann on the ABC 3340 Weather Center on Tide 100.9. It's 77 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
The best sports talk in the state. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Thanks for dialing in Big Noon Sports. Many of you listening in the Tide area on 100.9, Tide 100.9. We appreciate that. And in addition, now we have other platforms. We have Twitter, an account at Big Noon Sports, and then BigNoonSports.com, where you can go just punch the Tide app and good. You're listening to us anywhere in the world. Matt Coulter, along with Lars Anderson and Christian Miller. And Christian, you spent the afternoon watching the Pro Day at the University of Alabama. I'm just going to kind of roll the floor in your direction and just give us your general thoughts.
Yeah, Matt, it was a really good time. You know, I thought all the guys performed well. I think all the attention was on Bryce. And, you know, we finally got to see him throw, and he looked phenomenal out there. Had some really nice zip on the ball, some great accuracy. pretty much everything we expected. You know, he demonstrated that poise and confidence. He had some really nice throws that, unfortunately, receivers dropped. But he's still just same old Bryce, just showing that poise and confidence, going on to the next throw, shaking the guy's hand, you know, next play mentality. So it was really nice to see. But overall, man, I think it's kind of exactly what we thought. You know, Bryce was going to prove himself. I thought physically he looked great. You could tell he put on some good weight. You know, he almost is starting to kind of take on more of that Russell Wilson kind of look now, you know, being a little more stout. Didn't look as, you know, narrow and thin. So I thought that was good. I think a lot of people probably, you know, enjoyed seeing that. I'm not sure how much he weighed. I didn't check in on that. But, yeah, other than that, it was kind of what you expected. All the guys pretty much, you know, performed well, tested well. And it was also kind of nice to see the underclassmen receivers out there that were, you know, running routes for him. You know, we got to see Malik Benson, Brooks, and Jermaine Burton as well. You know, I definitely feel like those guys are going to step up tremendously this year at the receiver position. There's a lot of speed out there, some good routes being ran by those guys. So I'm excited for that position as well, even though, you know, those guys are going to be here next season. That was a little bit different, but we got a little sneak peek, a little preview with those guys. So, yeah, that's kind of my take on it.
There were a couple of players that have been removed from Alabama football for a while. I mean, I'm just curious how Fluker and Slade Bolden looked yesterday.
Well, Fluker looked great, you know, physically. I mean, the guy, he's slimmed down, he's trimmed up. He just looked massive, but was nice and cut up, looked very athletic. And he was phenomenal, man, in the position work. I mean, and rightfully so. I mean, they were talking about a guy who spent almost double-digit years in the NFL, who's always been a great football player, just trying to make a comeback after, I think, about 2 years. So he looked phenomenal out there. But another offensive lineman that looked good was Steen. The left tackle transferred from Vanderbilt. You know, he just looked so light on his feet, had great bend, doing some of those kind of pull drills, some nice punch. But again, he just looked so smooth with his footwork and also had some nice punch to go along with it. He looks like he's going to translate well at the next level. So those guys look good. And Slade Bolden as well was running some nice crisp routes, looked fast, you know, was in good shape. So I think he has a chance to maybe get on a team on a 90-man roster going into OTAs. And if not, then probably sometime around training camp, I'm sure somebody will give him a shot, because he definitely looked the part. And I think he is definitely more than deserving at a shot in the National Football League.
Christian, you know, I read just a bunch of reviews this morning on Bryce Young and his performance. And I know one reporter calculated that Bryce completed 44 of 50, and there were a couple of drops by Jermaine Burton. Another ball hit the roof of the practice facility.
Yeah.
And I what I heard over and over from scouts was they're just talking about Bryce's ability to process information and how that's just at another level. And I know that doesn't necessarily come out in a pro day, but can you just do like a deeper dive on what that really means of the ability to process what he's seeing on the field?
Yeah, so you're not going to see that at pro day, because that's typically what you're seeing against when you're playing against a live defense. Processing is when a quarterback is able to, number one, pre-snap, he's reading the defense. He's able to figure out what coverage that they're playing. You know, obviously a lot of defenses disguise a lot of things, but good quarterbacks are able to kind of look at those disguises and kind of pick up on what they're getting. You know, and that's when they utilize, you know, pre-snap motions to see if they're playing man, if they're going to be in zone. So that's one step of it. Another step would be, you know, post-snap, when he's going through his reads and his progressions, is him being able to see, you know, looking at his first read, if it's not there, keeping his eyes downfield, going to his next read, you know, being able to have that pocket presence where he can elude and avoid that pressure, but also be able to throw it hot when he needs to throw it hot, being able to lead his receivers. You know, he just almost has great anticipation as well, right? You know, we see him almost kind of guide his receivers. If they're not open originally, sometimes we'll see him throw them open. It's basically taking into consideration all those things, right? You being able to just to diagnose what's going on the field and in real time, you know, do the calculations and everything that he needs to do to make plays. And we see that time and time again with him. So that's what they say when they say, you know, he's just an elite, you know, decision maker, and his processing is on another level. That's pretty much what they're describing. You know, he's able to see what the defense is in, what kind of coverages they're in, the pressures that he's getting, and he's able to adjust and adapt to be successful, to make the right throws, to get his guys in position to make plays. So that's pretty much what they mean by processing. You won't see that on pro day per se, because again, there's no defense, they're just throwing on air. I mean, realistically, guys, I mean, pro day is really just to check boxes. I mean, at this point, I mean, you might wow some people with the Zach Wilson type throws, and it might kind of just garner some buzz. But realistically, they're going to look at what kind of football player you are and what kind of potential you have and how your skill set is going to translate to the next level. I mean, I think it's a case where if Bryce Young was, you know, even 2 inches taller, 3 inches taller, I mean, I think it'd be no debate. He'd be the number one overall pick. I mean, after watching him yesterday, I think there's no doubt he should be the number one overall pick. But I'm with Matt, kind of, you know, with the size difference, you know, a guy like CJ Stroud that could tip tip it into his favor with him being the number one pick. But I think, you know, if you know football and you understand football, you realize that you just want guys that can make plays. At the end of the day, it doesn't really matter your height, weight. As long as you can do the job, that's all that matters. And Coach Saban said it best. I mean, ask the guys he's played against the past couple of years in the SEC, which has the best football competition out there. You know, go ask those guys, you know, if his size or his weight, you know, affected his ability to make plays. And they'll tell you, absolutely not. You know, he's one of the best quarterbacks they've faced, if not the best. And I think he put that on display yesterday. And you alluded to it. Most of those incompletions were drops, specifically by Jermaine Burton. He had a couple of drops on some deep balls, and one of them did hit the net and try to, you know, really air it out. But besides that, all his, you know, short intermediate throws were right on the money, you know, pinpoint accuracy, leading his guys perfectly, putting it right on their chest with some serious zip. And the deep balls, again, just they looked fine to me. Yeah, one or two of them might have been his on him, but that's normal. You know, you're not going to have a perfect day. So I think he solidified that he should be the number one pick, but it's really just a matter of who the Panthers go with. I mean, they did have everybody from their council there, from the owner and his wife, the GM, assistant GM, vice president, you name it. So they had everybody on the field watching them, and they seemed to me like they were impressed.
Christian, you know better than most that the NFL, there is like some politics involved, right?
Absolutely.
and so how important are these dinners, right, that C.J. Stroud had with the Panthers brass, including the owner, mm-hmm. and then Bryce did the same thing? How important are those dinners and for the owner to feel comfortable, like, okay, this is the guy I want to be the face of my franchise for the next 12, 14 years?
I can't really say because I don't really know how much emphasis they put on those dinners. I will say, though, it's not uncommon to go to dinners, maybe not necessarily with that amount of staff included, including the owner like that. I mean, that probably obviously is a situation where you're talking about a number one pick or your first round pick. But I mean, we held dinners as well for Pro Day, and myself and probably four or five other guys were invited with the team, and we just sit down. I think we went to dinner with the Buffalo Bills. There's about four or five of us who went to Chuck's, sat down with those guys, shared a meal, talked ball, talked, you know, about our upbringing, just kind of getting to know one another. And if I'm not mistaken, I don't think a single one of us ended up going to Buffalo. So, I mean, I'll be honest, I don't think there's that much emphasis on it, because these guys also are going to fly in probably to Charlotte for a top 30 visit. They'll meet some more. They'll do more board work. You know, they'll put you on this grand tour showing you all around. Like, I took a top 30 visit to Dallas. So it's the same type of thing, and I ended up not getting drafted to Dallas. I know they like me a lot, because once I was a free agent, they repeatedly reached out to my agent. So I think it does show a lot of interest. But in terms of, you know, does that mean, you know, they're going to draft you? Absolutely not. I think it's just an opportunity for them to really get to know you on a little bit more personal level. You know, you're sharing a dinner, getting to know everybody, and just kind of just catching up and learning about each other. And I guess it can kind of just help them understand if you're a good fit for them as a person, as well as a football player.
More basketball when we get back. David Crane, UAB play-by-play man, is going to join us as The Blazers traveled to Las Vegas. Do you hope they don't end up in the Luxor? Did you read that? Good grief. They're playing Utah Valley next Tuesday night. We'll talk with David on the other side of this break. You're listening to Big Noon Sports.
From T-Town to the Plains, this is Alabama's most in-depth analysis on the SEC. This is Big Noon Sports.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Reagan, owner of R&R Cigars, the Cigar Mansion in downtown Tuscaloosa, located at 2703 6th Street across from the Home 2 Suites. Come down to R&R and see why we're the ultimate cigar and bourbon experience. With over 165 bourbons and 5 private barrels, our selection of bourbon is unmatched. We have the best cocktails around and our cigar selection is legendary. Our lounge and service are world class. Come and experience the luxury of the mansion and see why it's a world-renowned cigar and spirits destination.
Right.
The story of the nurse and the foot pain that nearly brought him down.
I feel like I'm giving people their lives back.
Robert lived to take care of his patients, but he couldn't do it unless he took care of his foot pain.
I have plantar fasciitis. It'll almost put you on your knees. That's how much it hurts.
His own recovery started when he got fitted for arch supports at the Goodfeet store.
Now that I'm pain-free, I can make these people feel better.
Can't beat that. Stop by or schedule your free fitting at goodfeet.com.
Anderson, and joined now by UAB's play-by-play man, David Crane. David, come back from Nashville, and he'll soon be getting on a plane to go to Las Vegas. David, how you doing, man?
Doing well. Doing well. Just went by the bank. a little withdrawal that hopefully I can deposit when I get back in about a week.
All right. Put 20 on roulette green for Blazer green. See what happens for me. Actually, I'm just kidding. That would be absolute doom. And everybody knows there's only two greens on the roulette wheel. So, hey, I want to talk. We're going to talk about your advancement to the Final Four, but let's go back to Vandy real quick. And that's a difficult place to play, period. But did Andy do anything different? Shoot more in some of the practices? How did they deal with that in addition to the Commodores?
I don't know if they did any more necessarily than maybe what he has done with some of his other teams up there. He's had some good success coaching in that building. And so, yeah, they went over. We bussed up on Tuesday, and they went to the gym and shot for a little while. And then we had a one-hour walkthrough on Wednesday that was also basically just an hour of shooting. So I think that was his biggest thing is, just get used to the sight lines and the depth perception, because it is a very unique building. And he talked about it in the post game. He felt like that the typical Memorial Gym situation unfolded where UAV was not very good offensively in the first half at the far end of the court, and they were much better when he could speak to them a little easier in the second half. So it's a great old building. I love watching a game there. It's not my favorite to call a game from, because you're basically looking at chins and knees all night long. But it's an old building that's got some character, and so that makes it special.
David, the FAU team that just beat Tennessee last night to reach the Elite Eight. UAB beat them once in the regular season. and very nearly beat them twice in the regular season. Seeing FAU's success, is there a sense of what might have been with this UAB team?
Well, I think always, if you're the preseason pick to win the league and you don't do it, you're going to play the what-if game a little bit. And I would imagine Andy Kennedy's done that to some degree. At the same time, you I guess it stings a little less if you don't win the conference championship when the team that did is doing what FAU is doing. So it was disappointing to not win it. But there are a lot of things that go on in the course of the season. Jordan Walker missing game with an injury. You had a couple of guys that were out for a game that UAB actually won on the road. But it's a long season, and to do what Florida Atlantic did, I don't care what league you're in, the way they ran through Conference USA was awfully impressive, and they played a phenomenal game in the championship of the Conference USA tournament. And so I think anybody that may have watched that game is not surprised at all to see what Dusty May and his Owls have done in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, well, and you need to make sure that you know North Texas is in the Final Four for NIT. So those are all Conference USA teams. Of course, UAB's moving on. But what do we know about Utah Valley?
Their president is a big cheerleader on the side of the court. She was in kind of full garb with pom-poms all night long on Wednesday when they knocked off Cincinnati. So I'm curious to see if that will continue in Vegas. But they're from Orem, Utah. They're the Wolverines. They won the WAC, and they're good. Other than that, I don't know a lot of specifics. We were able to watch pretty much the second half of that game on the bus coming back Wednesday night. So the team is more familiar now with them than they would have been probably otherwise. So it was good to see them a little bit on television and motivation wise, good to see them beat a good Cincinnati team. So not a fluke that they're heading to Vegas. And so I would imagine Andy Kennedy has been scouring the web to find a lot of game film and footage to show the guys the next, or yesterday, actually, I think they had yesterday off, but today, tomorrow, and then we will head out to Vegas on Sunday and play Tuesday night. So they've got plenty of time to prepare with the way coaches can put together video of opponents these days. They've got plenty of time to get a scouting report together, but I think it is a good Wolverines team that UAB is going to be dealing with Tuesday night.
David, how much fun has it been just having a front row seat to Jelly Walker this season?
He's been amazing, and it's really 2 years worth of it at this point. It was unfortunate that he missed some games this year, and all the 30 and 40 point performances that he has had the last couple of seasons. I would almost argue what he did Wednesday night was as impressive. He's not shot the three well as of late, and he really couldn't buy one on Wednesday night, and so he changed his game a little bit. He was more content to take 15-footers to try to get to the rim. So he scored, I think, 21, had 19 in the second half, and he only hit one three in the game. So it was great to see him adjust, and it was good to see him see a shot go through the net. And once he knocked down one or two early in the second half, you could kind of see the juices start flowing with him, but he's been a treat. Anybody that can shoot it like that, you never know what you're going to get on a night-to-night basis. So it's always fun to see what happens.
Yeah, David, I lived in New York for a long time, and my first book I wrote was on pickup basketball, and I spent a lot of time on the different pickup courts around New York. And Jelly just reminds me of a great pickup player, a great New York City pickup player, just his style. And it's so much fun to watch. Like, does he remind you of anybody else? Is there a comp to Jelly that comes to your mind?
That's a good question. I don't know. I mean, he's not the biggest guy in the world. He's strong, and I think he's gotten stronger this year, and I think that's helped him. Last year, a little contact from the opposing guard or the opposing defender really kind of threw him off a little bit. I think he's a little stronger this year and able to absorb a little more contact and finish. And that was something, again, we saw on Wednesday night. But you're exactly right. I mean, he's a New Yorker. He's got a wonderful attitude, a great swagger about him. And you know, as much fun as Las Vegas is, I do hate that we're not going to New York City and Madison Square Garden for the Final Four of the this year. I think, you know, with put you turn jelly loose at Madison Square Garden and goodness knows what would have happened.
Yeah, it's the greatest arena on the planet. And, you know, I hate that, too. Although you got to be careful when you go to Vegas. I don't know, David, did you read the story about UConn staying at the Luxor and their rooms were full? They were disgusting and they had to move. They had like dirt and they vomit and more kind of stuff. So you're not staying at the Luxor in Vegas, are you?
I don't believe so. I know we're playing at the Orleans Arena. I'm guessing we're staying at the Orleans Hotel and Casino.
That would make sense.
But, you know, I'm shocked that something wasn't absolutely spotless and pristine in Las Vegas.
Well, what is it? You got to watch which side of the road you walk on down the strip. And I only know that because somebody told me. All right, David, have a safe trip. Tell Andy Kennedy that Big Noon Sports is sending our best wishes with y'all. And we'll talk to you when you get back.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
All right.
Thank you.
Appreciate it very much. It's pretty cool that there's a chance. What is the old saying that there are only three basketball teams in the college ranks that end up with a win? And I guess it's do they still play that C, B, something, little tournament below the NIT, and then there's the NIT, and then there's the NCAA. But I think there's a pretty good chance that two teams from Alabama could win their very, very last game. UAB is in position to do that, don't you think? Of course, so is Alabama.
I do. And by the way, I've stayed at the Luxor before, and it's kind of a rundown place. It's not the nicest hotel in the world. I'm surprised that they would put a team in there. It just reminds me of some really horrific hotel experiences I've had over the years. And I don't know, we could do a whole segment on the grossest things I've seen in hotels.
Let's put that one on hold. Because I've had my share too, especially when you're doing arena football. Whoa!
Yeah, it's never fun to leave a hotel with an itch.
Okay, that's about enough of that.
Yes, sir.
Show continues in a moment. Big Noon Sports.
From T-Town to the Plains, this is Alabama's most in-depth analysis on the SEC. This is Big Noon Sports.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Owner of R&R Cigars, the Cigar Mansion in downtown Tuscaloosa, located at 2703 6th Street across from the Home 2 Suites. Come down to R&R and see why we're the ultimate cigar and bourbon experience. With over 165 bourbons and 5 private barrels, our selection of bourbon is unmatched. We have the best cocktails around and our cigar selection is legendary. Our lounge and service are world-class. Come and experience the luxury of the mansion and see why it's a world-renowned cigar and spirits destination.
I studied the story of the nurse and the foot pain that nearly brought him down.
I feel like I'm giving people their lives back.
Robert lived to take care of his patients, but he couldn't do it unless he took care of his foot pain.
I have plantar fasciitis. It'll almost put you on your knees. That's how much it hurts.
His own recovery started when he got fitted for arch supports at the Goodfeet store.
Now that I'm pain-free, I can make these people feel better.
Can't beat that. Stop by or schedule your free fitting at goodfeet.com.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Partially sunny, warm, and breezy this afternoon. The high today, 82. Windy tonight. Thunderstorms arrive after midnight. Those storms could be severe. Then tomorrow, rain ending early in the day. The sky becoming mostly sunny. The high at 83. I'm James Spann on the ABC 3340 Weather Center on Tide 100.9. It's 77 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
A national championship team covering a national championship team.
The best sports talk in the state.
Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Back on Big Ten Sports, along with Lars Anderson, and Aiden's back running the board, producing and trying to juggle several balls as we speak now. We do take phone calls, and we can do that as Brando is going to join us at 1:15, so we can take phone calls right now if you'd like to join us at 205-342-9904. And again, website, bignoonsports.com, Twitter, at Big Noon Sports. Christian Miller was at Alabama's football practice facility yesterday, and he was watching the pro day. Christian, I know you don't get starstruck or you may not pay attention, but did you see people you knew of influence or of significance yesterday when you were watching Pro Day?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, the area scouts are always the same. So the scouts that were at Pro Day were the same ones that were there when I did Pro Day, the same ones that were there in, 2014 and 15 when I attended Pro Day. When I was still in school. So, yeah, I mean, I got to see all those guys, and it's always good to catch up with those people. Jim Nagy, who runs the Senior Bowl, a good friend of mine, was there. Got to catch up with him. And, you know, various NFL personnel was there. Mike Tomlin, the Dolphins head coach. What's his name? I'm drawing a blank right now. But, various McDaniels, excuse me, Mike McDaniels. You know, he was there. Just various NFL GMs and head coaches. All 32 teams had representatives there in some way or fashion. So it's Alabama. It's what you expect. Good to catch up with a lot of guys that I know. Steve Smith, former Panthers receiver, was there working with NFL Network. There's a long list of people there to watch the guys participate in Pro Day.
Christian, I think Jahmyr Gibbs is going to have an amazing NFL career.
Absolutely.
What were your thoughts on what you saw from him yesterday, and what role do you see him playing in the NFL?
Oh, he looked amazing. So he's just so fast, so quick, so agile, and he's just very fluid and smooth. He just moves so gracefully, and I think he performed well. Kind of reminds me of Alvin Kamara, a very dynamic player, can put them all over, create mismatches in the passing game, can get in and out of holes, getting in and out of his breaks, make those cuts, make guys miss. He's just a very dynamic football player, and I think, a lot of people were very impressed with him yesterday. Another guy, Cam Lontu, looked phenomenal out there, ran really well with his 40. He told me ran in the 4.5s, which is outstanding for him. His routes were so smooth, so crisp. I don't think he had any drops when he was running his routes, and just looked very fluid. I think a lot of people were impressed as well. So I think those two guys definitely shined on the offensive side of the ball. I left a little early. I didn't get to see the defensive line, but from what I heard, Byron Young and DJ Dell performed well. Obviously, Will Anderson didn't do anything. He did pretty much everything at the combine, so he's going to sit on that, which I don't blame him. And the DBs also look solid. They did really well in their position work. Pretty much what you expect of me. I think Brian Branch is one of those guys that a lot of people had their eyes on. But also Eli Ricks, very long, lengthy guy for that position. A little stiff, just because, sometimes taller guys have a hard time being a little, more bendy and able to kind of be as fluid. That'd be my one thing I'd maybe say he could work on, is just being a little more flexible and fluid. But other than that, everybody really just had solid days.
Christian, bold question. Who would win in a 40? Bryce Young, Will Anderson Jr., or Christian Miller?
I have no clue, honestly.
a joke.
Yeah, I was about. I'm trying to think. I mean, it's a valid question. You know, Bryce didn't run one. He said he would if a team asked him to in private. I think Will ran around the 4.6 range, which that's what I was running. I mean, I've been timed at like a high 4.9 before. High 4.59 ish area. So I mean, I don't know. Great question though. I mean, I think it'd be pretty close.
I think I'm taking Christian in that one. My money's on Christian. Christian, I want to stick with Eli Ricks for a second. It seems like he has an immense amount of talent. Obviously, he going pro after one season at Alabama, and he's confident, and he seems to have, you know, the size that defensive coordinators are really looking for now. And you said he looked a little stiff, but how do you think he projects into the NFL? Like, is he a day one starter, or does he still need some refinement?
I don't know. I mean, I can't really speak for anybody, honestly, because there's guys that aren't projected to be starters and they end up getting out there and they prove a lot of people wrong. Then there's vice versa. There's guys that people think are plug and play guys. Then you find out they need to develop. If it's my personal assessment, here's my thing. I mean, he has limited experience in college, which is fine. But if you're saying then you expect him to just go step in right away in the National Football League, I mean, I think that's a little bit of a long shot. But it's not impossible. If I had to guess, I think he's more of a guy you draft off potential. Because, again, we're talking about a guy who's like 6'2 and a half, very lengthy, he's long. He can run well. I don't know what he got timed in his 40, but he was moving. He was running very fast. His vert, at least, I think I've heard them shout 35, which is a great number for him. Again, I think just the lack of experience over the past couple seasons might – you know, make him project more as a guy that you might need to, you know, let develop a little bit. That's completely fine. I think the biggest thing with him is just kind of being a little more fluid. That way he can, just transition a little bit more and have a little bit better, change of direction. Because, again, these receivers in the NFL, I mean, all they need is just the slightest amount of separation to complete a pass. So I think he's going to end up having a really good career. I think he just might need to develop a little bit. But, you know, he looked great yesterday. He tested well. And I think a lot of teams, he caught a lot of teams' eyes with what he did on the field yesterday.
Is there somebody out there that maybe have opened their eyes and really, really had their stock rise in the NFL draft?
Just off yesterday?
Yeah.
Maybe Anthony Steen, just because, Tyler Steen, excuse me. Tyler Steen, the offensive lineman, left tackle. I know a lot of people have kind of slowly been talking about him, but just seeing him move yesterday, again, he's very fluid, very athletic for his size. He's a big guy, but he's very athletic. His footwork looked great, but again, even with the bags, he just had some nice punch. He's very physical with the bags. So I think he saw his stock rise yesterday. I think a lot of people are now looking at him and saying, hey, we can get this guy and he can help contribute at left tackle for us.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at AndrewSportsMedicine.com.
Hey, this is Reagan, owner of R&R Cigars, the Cigar Mansion in downtown Tuscaloosa, located at 2703 6th Street across from the Home 2 Suites. Come down to R&R and see why we're the ultimate cigar and bourbon experience. With over 165 bourbons and 5 private barrels, our selection of bourbon is unmatched. We have the best cocktails around and our cigar selection is legendary. Our lounge and service are world-class. Come and experience the luxury of the mansion and see why it's a world-renowned cigar and spirits destination.
The story of the nurse and the foot pain that nearly brought him down.
I feel like I'm giving people their lives back.
Robert lived to take care of his patients, but he couldn't do it unless he took care of his foot pain.
I have plantar fasciitis. It'll almost put you on your knees. That's how much it hurts.
His own recovery started when he got fitted for arch supports at the Goodfeet store.
Now that I'm pain-free, I can make these people feel better.
Can't beat that. Stop by or schedule your free fitting at goodfeet.com.
And W265 CG Tuscaloosa. Tide 100.9. And streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Welcome back to Big Noon Sports with Lars Anderson, Matt Coulter, and Christian Miller.
State of Alabama, and we go east to west, north to south. You can listen to us online at our website, bignoonsports.com. Also, you can feed us on Twitter.
We're going to move on. I think it's the way to go. And Christian, we haven't had a chance really to get your opinion. I don't know if you've had time to kind of look at the Alabama's game tonight against San Diego State.
I'm bad with basketball. Don't even put me on the spot. I'll be honest. I haven't even watched San Diego State.
And you know defense.
I can tell you I know Alabama defense. I know Alabama basketball.
I'm sorry. I interrupt both of you.
No, you're fine. I just was saying, I'll be honest. I haven't had a chance to even watch San Diego State. I'm just fully confident in Alabama basketball. I don't even feel the need to really look at these other teams. I guess it'd be fun to kind of maybe scout them a little bit, but it's just different than football. If it's football, man, I'll scout them and I'll kind of, diagnose what I'm seeing from them and then what I can expect going into a game. But basketball, I just don't know if I know it well enough. In my head, it's just like, hey, play good defense, protect the basketball, don't turn it over, make shots and you'll win the game. That's kind of how I sum basketball up. And I fully believe when Alabama's firing on all cylinders and they're playing that stellar defense that we're used to seeing from them, and they're making their shots and they're careful with the basketball, I feel like, they're as good as anyone in the country. And I hate to go as far as saying this, but I think they'll ultimately win it all. I will say, though, Gonzaga, they did come up short against them earlier in the year. That's kind of who I would be a little worried about, just because I remember watching that game. Is it Timmy or what was the guy's name?
Drew Timmy.
Yeah. I don't, man.
Best player in the nation.
Yeah, that guy right is now, good, is. Man.
Yeah, he's real good. He had 36-13 last night.
Yeah, that's who I'm kind of concerned about, I'll be honest. That's about all I can give you, Lars, on this. Is I think Alabama, as long as they're playing the way we're used to seeing them play, I think they have a great chance to win it all. My only concern right now would be, I think, Gonzaga and Timmy.
Yeah. Timmy, he was phenomenal last night. It was the single best individual performance of the tournament so far. And Matt, he's so fun to watch because his footwork is just amazing, right? And he does all the little things correct. And even when you try to push him out and force him to take a three, he can bury the three. He can make just incredible moves with his back to the basket. He can charge to the basket. He can make the mid-range jumper, and he's the heart and soul of that team. And I really did find it interesting that the final, the main play at the end there, when Gonzaga their guard hit about a 28 footer, that it was drawn up by the coach, not for Timmy, right, but for this other kid. And boy, what confidence he showed in him. And they said that they practice that all the time, and in practice he usually hits that shot. And just it was a coaching masterpiece, I thought, at the end by Mark Few.
Lars, can I ask you, who would you compare him to? And I was just reading up on him, and for some reason, a lot of scouts don't really have him projected as a first round pick for whatever reason in the NBA draft. Yeah. But who, is there like a player comp that you feel would be accurate for him on who he could potentially with his skills translate into the next level, who he reminds you of?
That's a really good question. He might be one of these guys who is just a really, really good college player that maybe will be able to sort of eke out a 10-year NBA career, but never be a starter. When he's got his, I don't know, Matt, he's such a unique player. It's tough. Like, part of me says Kevin McHale, but that's going way back with the Celtics. But I don't know, Matt, does a comp come to your mind?
Well, one does immediately, and that's Adam Morrison, who played for Gonzaga just a few years ago. And his NBA career was pretty short-lived as well. But he was a great, fantastic college player. I will cite the broadcast crew from last night when they were talking about Drew Timmy. They were talking, and you were speaking to this just a minute ago, Lars, how fundamentally sound he is. His feet positioning, the way he blocks out, his form, his shooting, all fundamentally sound. And they drew comparisons to Tim Duncan, who, if you'll remember, Duncan out of Wake Forest and then to San Antonio, where I don't know, he went 4 NBA titles, something like that. But they called him Mr. Fundamental, and the announcers referred to as talking about Timmy to Tim Duncan, who's one of the best basketball players we've ever seen and actually excelled and flourished more at the NBA level than he did at the college level. So there's my little speech on Timmy, because I don't think he's probably I hope he's a great NBA player. I don't see it.
I agree. But to piggyback on what Christian was saying earlier about how Gonzaga said they look like a dangerous team, and that goes all the way back to when they played Alabama earlier this season, the fact that they won last night after being down so much in the second half, then UCLA rallying and taking the lead late and then coming back again and just hitting key shot after key shot. Although they did miss way too many free throws to keep UCLA in that game. But the point is that they survived a game that they probably should have lost. And it seems like when you go on to win an NCAA championship, you have one of those along in the six, right? And I'm wondering if, when is that going to happen to Alabama, right, at some point? Like, I think it will. I don't necessarily think it'll be tonight, but it'll be interesting to see. I think what transpired late last night is going to propel Gonzaga moving forward. And Matt, you noted that they got to play a really good UConn team in the next round to get to the Final Four. And, a lot of smart basketball people will now believe that UConn is actually the team to beat based on how they have played the first three games of the tournament. But I love Gonzaga. They're fun to watch.
I do, too. But you got to wonder how much they burned up last night against UCLA. And UConn has literally been cruising to the Elite Eight. So there you have that. Huskies and Gonzaga will be an outstanding basketball game. When we get back, we'll talk about basketball, we'll talk about music, we'll talk about Willis Reed and more with Tim Brando on Big Noon Sports.
Covering SEC sports like kudzu on the roadside, this is Big Noon Sports.
The story of the nurse and the foot pain that nearly brought him down.
I feel like I'm giving people their lives back.
Robert lived to take care of his patients, but he couldn't do it unless he took care of his foot pain.
I have plantar fasciitis. It'll almost put you on your knees. That's how much it hurts.
His own recovery started when he got fitted for arch supports at the Goodfeet store.
Now that I'm pain-free, I can make these people feel better.
Can't beat that. Stop by or schedule your free fitting at goodfeet.com.
based right here in Birmingham, Alabama.
We are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
As respected industry leaders,
we are here
working hard for you
in an effort to provide you with
excellence in sports medicine,
excellence in research and education,
and excellence in sports injury prevention.
We are here for you, aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at AndrewSportsMedicine.com.
Dancing in the moonlight, everybody feeling warm and right. It's such a fine and natural sight. Everybody dancing in the moonlight.
Oh, sweet sounds of Tim Miranda of this. Did you ever play this song, Timmy?
I guess we don't have Timmy. Well, I have to re-cue that song. It's one of my favorites as a DJ back in the day. But we'll get Brando on here in a minute. You know what he's doing, don't you, Lars? He's playing golf.
Yeah, he lives on the golf course. That's why he couldn't come on yesterday. I love his Twitter posts that he's a southpaw, and he posts a lot of his golf game on Twitter, and he's got a nice swing.
Yeah, he's gotten a lot better. I can remember 20-25 years ago playing in some kind of pro-am or something, and I think he's gotten a lot better over the years. I'm pretty sure we've talked about this before, but I think he hit Stan White, the former Auburn quarterback, in the back of the head with a golf ball and when they were all playing in the same group, and Bo Jackson went over and just grabbed somebody's golf cart and threw a towel around Stan White's head. And this was the Brunos or the Regions golf, the seniors, the champions tour. And he wrapped a towel around Stan White's head and he drove right through the crowd, the gallery, the patrons, to get Stan to a hospital. And he had to have several stitches. And Stan later said, yeah, it knocked me pretty goofy. But Bo to the rescue.
Yeah, that was back in 2007, and according to eyewitnesses, Stan was autographing a football about 50 yards from the tee box when Tim Brando's tee shot hit Stan right behind one of his ears.
Yeah,
and it was Bo Jackson grabbed him. Drove him to the clubhouse, and he was given a few stitches. Stan wanted to return to the course, but he had to go to the hospital. But hey, all ended well. Stan was okay, and that's the hazard of when you're playing in a charity classic pro am. This is the am part of it, right?
Have you ever had one of those moments when you're playing in one of those and there are actually people watching you hit your tee ball only because you've got somebody like Jim Thorpe in your group or something like that? You ever been in that? I remember one time I was playing in the Lewis Grizzard. Actually, this is a Charlie Boswell thing out at River Chase, and this was in the 80s. But this tournament drew, Gerald Ford, Bob Knight, George Lindsay, Goober, the celebrity list was incredible. Bob Hope. That's when I got to interview Bob Hope. But I was in one of the groups, not one of the featured groups, but there were still people lying in the fairway. And never in my life had I had anybody watch my T-ball. Nobody's ever watched me play golf. It was quite intimidating. I was just hoping to hit the ball. And fortunately, I didn't hit it cleanly, but I got my driver. And of course, you know what, Lars? There's water on the first tee. So, I mean, there's so many things that I was psyching myself out in my head. I almost pulled out a 7-iron just so I could get over the water. But I kind of hooked my driver, and it went kind of up into the gallery, but it was not a terrible shot. And then people started clapping. people just clap for Matt Coulter, a 28 handicaps golf shot. And then they dissipated to go watch Louis Grizzard, who's hysterical and died 29 years ago today.
Yeah. So how was Gerald Ford was in the tournament?
Yeah, he was not. He was, he wasn't present.
Right. I think you could make the argument, though, that the greatest athlete ever to ascend to the U.S. presidency was Gerald Ford.
Even though he used to fall down the stairs getting off the plane, off Air Force One.
I know that I know that he was lampooned for that for years on Saturday Night Live. But
he was an All-American at Michigan, wasn't he?
All-American at Michigan. I know in golf he was about a 15, 16 handicap. It was Chevy Chase, who always on Saturday Night Live, was always portrayed him and for his clumsiness, right? But really, I think you could, like I said, he was a two-way player at Michigan, a center and a linebacker in the 1930s. That was a long time ago. I've played in a couple of those tournaments, and it is very, very difficult to hit it off the tee box when there are people around watching you. It's a completely different dynamic than when you're just out with your buddies. I mean, it's amazing just how tight you get. And
so tight.
Yeah.
I needed a drink, you know? Yeah. I said, I should go back to the clubhouse. Maybe it'll help me a little bit. But that was a great event. It raised a whole lot of money for just a wonderful man in Charlie Boswell. But, man, that tournament drew a whole lot of people, many of which I avoided hitting. And that's one of my prouder moments in all of sports is that I didn't kill somebody with a Brando like tee shot. anyway, that's just a discussion as we continue to try and see if we can apparently get Timmy on.
Apparently, when with Tiger, right? They always scream, get in the hole, right? When he tees off. And apparently at a couple different events, post-presidency for Ford, fans would yell, "Look out for Watergate!"
Oh, that's pretty funny. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Speaking of golf.
This is the kind of information we bring you.
Absolutely. And this is the kind of information which many of you may have seen online earlier today. You may have been watching at the time. But have you seen the tee shot on 18, the WGC match play in Austin that Rory McIlroy hit yesterday?
Unbelievable. Yeah. Just crushed it.
374-yard par 4, 3 feet from the pin.
Yeah.
The announcer said that they were claiming it's the best tee shot in the history of golf. It was incredible. I mean, he almost got a one on a four. What is that, an albatross?
It's a double eagle.
Double right? eagle. So if you ace a five, that's an albatross.
I'm right. not even sure.
There's
is it
par,
is it possible
birdie,
to get an
eagle.
Ace on a five?
I suppose, depending on the golf course. Hey, I want to toss this at you before we get to the bottom of the hour. We're trying to reestablish with Tim. There is much talk about restricted flight golf balls. And oddly enough, this is on tour. This is for elite players. But Rory McIlroy, he was in favor of that. What does Lars Anderson think?
Get to it on the other side.
The best. best sports talk in Alabama. This is Big Noon Sports.
The story of the nurse and the foot pain that nearly brought him down.
I feel like I'm giving people their lives back.
Robert lived to take care of his patients, but he couldn't do it unless he took care of his foot pain.
I have plantar fasciitis. It'll almost put you on your knees. That's how much it hurts.
His own recovery started when he got fitted for arch supports at the Goodfeet store.
Now that I'm pain-free, I can make these people feel better.
Can't beat that. Stop by or schedule your free fitting at goodfeet.com.
Our home base right here in Birmingham, Alabama.
We are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
As respected industry leaders,
we are here
working hard for you
in an effort to provide you with
excellence in sports medicine,
excellence in research and education,
and excellence in sports injury prevention.
We are here for you, aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Partially sunny, warm, and breezy this afternoon. The high today, 82. Windy tonight. Thunderstorms arrive after midnight. Those storms could be severe. And tomorrow, rain ending early in the day. The sky becoming mostly sunny. The high at 83. I'm James Spann on the ABC 3340 Weather Center on Tide 100.9. It's 78 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
A national championship team covering a national championship team. The best sports talk in the state. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Land. Dancing in the moonlight.
Are you kidding, Matt? Absolutely, I remember that. A little Dancing in the Moonlight. Yes. No Gosh. Question. How are you?
Good, man. How's your golf game?
Well, it's pretty good. I'm playing. That's first and foremost, right? So happy to be playing. That's always a good thing. And I'll get back out there. Well, the weather probably will stymie us tomorrow, but I've, let's see, three rounds, 86, 82, 85. I'm good. Always right with the world. Yeah.
Hey, we swapped tweets last night. I want to give you an opportunity to talk about a true class gentleman that we lost early in the week. Tell us what Tim Brando thinks when I say Willis Reed.
Oh, man, just legendary, bigger than life. 1970 game seven at Madison Square Garden. And it was the new Madison Square Garden. It was just reconstructed at that time. It was also the year that Pistol Pete played against Dean the Dream Memminger, in the Sweet 16 of the NIT, in the quarterfinal round of the NIT. I'll never forget being in my room as a 14-year-old kid. I had my first cassette recorder. And I'm watching Jack Twyman and Chris Jenkel call game seven of the series with the Lakers. And, you know, full disclosure, I was rooting for the Lakers, even though Willis was from Grambling. I loved Chamberlain. I loved West. And I loved Gail Goodrich and those guys. And they always lost to the Celtics at that time. So I was hoping they'd win. It took two more years for them to win the world title. But, I mean, when he walked out there on a leg and a half, and people forget he only made the 4 points, but they were the first 4 points. And it just emotionally, you know, stimulated the Garden at that point. And if, you know, to grow up and to be able to call games at the Garden, both in the NBA as well as in college, meaningful games, it resonated with me for a long, long time. And he was a genuine article, really, really nice man, very humble, even though he had so much to be arrogant about, he was a humble human being. So I know he was 80 years old, which is a full life to many, but gone too soon for people like us, Matt.
Tim, I just want to stick with this for 1 second. What's it like to call a game at the Garden? And I may have asked you this before, but do you have a favorite say, two or three venues that you enjoy visiting the most?
Oh, gosh, yes. Bucket lists for basketball are every bit as important to me as bucket lists for football, Lars. I'll never forget the first time I went into Madison Square Garden to call a game. It was like my hairs on the back of my neck stood up, you know. And this was during a period in the 80s when we weren't that far removed from moments, in my mind anyway, like Maravich and Dean the Dream in the NIT, or like Willis Reed in 1970, mid-80s. And you're doing games in the Big East Conference that, you know, a lot of people are watching. And to do a game there was just a thrill. You know, fast forward a few years, I had never done a game, and this was also in the 80s, I had never done a game at Boston Garden when the Celtics were actually playing. I actually did, Rick Pitino coached a Providence game against Boston College after they had beaten Georgetown in a game at Providence that I had in 87, and they were playing at the Boston Garden, and I was thrilled to be in Boston Garden for the first time. But I'd never done a Celtics game there, which is different. And when I was doing the Hawks in the mid-90s, 95, 96, I got to do games before they closed Boston Garden involving the Celtics and the Hawks. And the first one I did, Dominique Wilkins was still playing. And, you know, one of the human highlight films of all time. And walking into the venerable Boston Garden and seeing some of the rats and the... There were some rats. That was true. That they existed as you were walking through the bowels of Boston Garden to get up to the floor level where the cargo area was, and the visiting teams would unload their buses. That was incredible. And I remember going out on the court with Mike Glenn, who was working with me, the stinger who played at Southern Illinois. He was my analyst for the Hawks back in those days. He would be like, Timmy, you need to come here. I want to show you this. He grabbed a basketball and he showed me where the dead spots were on the floor, where the basketball would not bounce up as it properly should. And they never got rid of those. People complained. I mean, every opposing team complained about Boston Garden, and they did so for reasons, but nothing ever changed. That was another one. And then the Forum in Inglewood. And I happened to do a game with the Lakers and the Hawks right when Magic Johnson was making his comeback from what he had gone through medically that we all remember, okay, when that announcement was made. Well, if you recall, he had that period of time where he coached a little. That didn't work out. Then after he thought he had gotten all of the issues taken care of medically, that he would be safe enough to play, he came back to play a good bit. And I was there for one of those games and broadcasting not far from where Chick Hearn was doing the Lakers. And, you know, those things always stay with me.
Tim, what are your just big picture thoughts on the NCAA tournament and especially what we saw last night? Just some terrific basketball.
Well, my outlier, the team that I felt, at least, I mean, listen, my 64-team, 68-team bracket, whatever you want to call it, was a disaster, like so many others. I had Matt, you'll love this. I put out a tweet about revising my 5-day forecast, like these meteorologists get away with. You know, nobody ever questions the Doppler radar when they change the 5-day forecast. Well, we don't get that luxury. Of course, you know, once we screw up, we get called out and we have to live with it. But I felt when I looked at 16 teams that Kansas State was a team that no one knows very much about nationally, and that would be the case if they were a 9 seed instead of a 3 seed. You know, I mean, they beat a 7 seed, Michigan State, and I guarantee you more people knew who Michigan State's players were than knew who K-State's players were last night. I thought that Marquise Casey Noel was going to be the difference in the game, and he was. The kid is magical. And at this time of year, you've got to have outstanding guard play. And he's the most prolific true point guard I've seen in a long, long while. and he willed his team to that win. But he had help. I mean, Keontae Johnson's a great talent. They reminded me of Stockton to Malone there for a period of time. And that alley-oop reverse dunk to get the four-point lead late will be relived by a lot of people for a long time. I did feel that UCLA defensively could clamp down and take care of Gonzaga, and they lost the 13-point lead. That will be a whale of a final with UConn and the Zags again, and that'll bring back some memories to a lot of people, both at Connecticut and Gonzaga. I think that the team that it may take 90 to 100 points to win that game, because both teams have such artillery from an offensive standpoint. As for tonight, I think we're going to get more of the same. I'm really looking forward to the two games in the other region outside of Alabama. I think Xavier in Texas is just going to be outstanding. And I do think Miami will give Houston a hard time. Isaiah Wong is a really good player. I do think Stuyvesant has had more time to get well. I thought he played himself back into pretty good shape last week. Now with 5 days off, if Houston's going to lose, I think it would be on a one-day turnaround after this game. I think Xavier will beat Texas tonight. I do. It's just been astounding. Best tournament from the first to second round and into the Sweet 16 thus far that we've seen probably in years. And certainly the television ratings reflect that.
Tim, I'm going to take a TV timeout because I got to dive back into what you were talking about and the relationship between sports and weather. During television newscasts. You remember when Chris Berman was awarded the Broadcasting Association Sportscaster of the Year, and he got to the podium, and as he was accepting the award, he yelled, "Take it out of weather." Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do.
For those that don't know, if you're a sportscaster, you work your butt off for 5 hours putting together 4.5 minutes. Then a thunderstorm approaches. And I understand and appreciate what weather. And you do need to put your focus on that. But guess where they took it out of? Not out of news, not out of the kicker. They always took the time out of sports.
Well, I think local television in many respects has gone to hell in a handbasket. Absolutely. That's another subject for another day. I mean, it's like a news magazine show now. It's not really, here's some helpful hints for what happens when the tornadoes come through. Like, we haven't heard that before, but the bottom line is you're not getting, I tell young people coming up into sports broadcasting today that doing local news may not be the direction you want to go. You might want to look into webcasting. You might want to look into other ways of getting your feet wet in sportscasting without doing local TV. That used to be the way we had to do it, coming through radio and local television. I don't know that that's necessarily any longer the way to go. Boomer was just speaking for all of us that had to do local TV. I'm so glad that I did not have to go back to local TV after I left Baton Rouge in 86. You know what, Lars, when you asked me that question about tonight, I didn't even mention Alabama, and I should have, obviously. It would appear to me that the bracket is wide open for them. I think that, but look this, the coach they're going up against tonight is a tremendous defensive coach. Brian Dutcher's been around a long time. I knew him when he was an assistant and coming up through Steve Fisher at Michigan, but also his dad, Jim Dutcher, longtime coach at Minnesota, had tremendous success while he was there. He grew up on the game. I mean, he is wise beyond his years, and he's been at it for a long, long time. They've got some players that can score, but their quest is always defense. They want to turn the game into a rock fight. And the question for me will be, does Alabama handle the new stage? This is a bigger stage. The Sweet 16 is a far bigger stage than the first two rounds. And if Brandon Miller is not making shots early, if suddenly the iron is unkind, how do the rest of the tide roll? Because they've got other players. We all know who they are, and they're really good. But they all look to Miller to set the tone. And the new stage is going to be something to keep an eye on. If you see those eyes getting a little larger on the floor, it'll be because Alabama has been maybe grown a little uncomfortable in this new setting, because it is a new setting.
So right now, Timmy, who do you like to win it all?
Well, I'm looking at Houston and Alabama in the final. I think Sasser is back. I think they'll be able to handle Miami and then get through against Xavier. I think Xavier will beat Texas tonight. Xavier will offer a very strong offensive effort to outscore Houston, but their defense is not as good as the Cougs. I think Houston will come through, and of the two left in the other region where I was thinking UCLA might make it, I'm looking at UConn now as the team to get there to make it to the Final Four. And then, on the other side, I think Kansas State is going to be the outlier that makes it. I like K-State to handle FAU. I would have picked them against Tennessee if Tennessee had held on last night. I really do think that team has something magical with Marquise Noel. He's just off the charts. A little kid from Harlem playing for the team from mini Manhattan has taken over Madison Square Garden. And on the other side, I think Alabama is going to come through. So those are the four, and I'm going to take Houston and Alabama advancing to the championship with the Cougars winning it all.
It'll be a tough matchup, as we saw earlier this year in Houston. So we'll see. Yep. I am concerned, I think, like you are, Timmy, about San Diego State. The Aztecs play defense, and they particularly play defense on the perimeter. And if Alabama's not shooting it.
Yeah, and the Bradley kid can score.
Inside. What now?
The Bradley kid for them can really score. You got to keep an eye on him through the course of that game.
All right, we'll go tee it up or wait till it rains tomorrow and then tee it up then, and we'll do some more music trivia next time we speak. Timmy, we always appreciate your time so very much.
You got it. You guys batten down the hatches. It's supposed to be coming through here mid-afternoon, and hopefully it hopscotches around and everybody can stay safe in the Gulf South, okay?
Indeed. Thanks, Timmy.
Really appreciate your time, as always. Great stuff. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, fellas. Bye-bye.
Bye. Wow. I was just taking a look at a moment from the women's NIT game. And when we get back, it's a video piece, but it is unbelievably disturbing. We'll be right back on Big Noon Sports.